The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
My name is Musho, also known as Rodney Allen Greenblatt, and I'm a senior student from the Village Zendo, and I'm also the leader of the Catskill Zen Circle. Zoomcasting you to you tonight from the semi-deserted town of Catskill, New York. And deep thanks to all of you who are attending. I think there might be a few people from my group out there. And of course, so many of my friends from New York City. Thank you. Thank you for attending tonight. First off, I want to congratulate Zen Master Ryotan Iger. He was actually already a Zen Master as a sensei, but now he has the title of Roshi. And it's just wonderful. We need more Zen Roshis in this world. So thank you, Ryotan, for taking up the challenge. And thank you, Roshi, for the wisdom to make this happen for Ryotan and for all of us. On a sadder note, I would also like to mention the Sangha members, family, and friends who have contracted the coronavirus. As of now, we know of Kyogen's mother, Tore's father, Rakushin's son's sister, and Rakushin's co-worker, who is a nurse. May they be serene through all their ills, and may they recover completely. The coronavirus is terrifying. And as I watch the TV, there's a lot of information and all kinds of reactions and talking heads and news. But I don't feel like enough people are really talking about the actual gripping fear that we're all feeling. And it made me think of a news kind of documentary that I saw years ago about people who survived the wildfires in California. It was a story of a couple, kind of middle-aged couple, with kids who had this beautiful home that they'd built up in the mountains in California. And they were well aware of the fire risk and had actually cleared out their land a little bit in case the fire came. But when the fire did come, they had to run for their lives. They had to scramble out of their homes and jump into the car and actually drive through a wall of fire where their driveway had been. When they finally got someplace where it was safe, they noticed that their tires had nearly melted. And the heat from the broiling road had actually buckled the frame of their SUV. So I was thinking that the virus is just like that raging fire, except we can't see it coming, we can't hear it, and we can't smell it. And we can't jump into our SUVs and run away. I think there are people who are trying, but there's really nowhere in this world you can run from it. Now, if you noticed, the people were on a documentary, so they did survive. And I think most of us will survive this crisis too. but it's not going to be easy. Besides all our fear, there's also grief. As described in a PBS video interview with David Kessler, you can look up on PBS's website this interview with a writer and, I guess, psychologist. I don't know his background, but it was a wonderful interview where he talks about the grief that we're all going through. Grief in the loss of our lives that we had just a month ago. Everything that we wanted to do and the plans we thought we were going to have all vanished in a very short amount of time. And he talks really beautifully about this new kind of grief that we might all be sharing. To the fear and the grief, I also want to add anger. It's such a frustrating situation. And I want to mention that I'm a very strict vegetarian. And there's overwhelming evidence that the coronavirus jumped from animals to people at a fish and meat market in Wuhan, China, where they sell live wild animals and meat. And I'm not singling out China at all. I also know at this point, it doesn't really matter that much where the virus came from. But I have to say, please stop eating meat. It's a terrible habit, and it causes so much stress on our world. I'm fine. My wife, Dina, is here. I see her in the picture there. I am an artist, quietly working alone in my studio. You can see one of my paintings back there. Maybe someday when there isn't a crisis going on, I'll give a Dharma talk about that painting of the extinct dodo. I'll get to that someday. But right now, all I can think about is wanting to avoid the coronavirus. And that brings me to case 43. From the Blue Cliff Record, Tung Shan's No Heat or Cold. A monk asked Tung Shan, "When cold and heat come, how can we avoid them?" Shan said, "Why don't you go to the place where there is no heat or cold?" The monk said, "What is the place where there is no heat or cold?" Tung Shan said, "When it's cold, the cold kills you. When it's hot, the heat kills you." The monk's question is very simple and straightforward. When cold and heat come, how can we avoid them? I was thinking it's kind of like saying, when anxiety and disease come, how can we avoid them? Then Master Tung Shan answers, I think in a direct and perfectly good way, why don't you go to the place where there is no cold or heat? Why don't you go to the place where there is no anxiety or disease? It's hard to find. I feel like the case should have stopped there, but instead, the monk keeps going. And this happens a lot in these koans, and I always love the monks in these stories and relate to them. They don't give up. They keep asking their questions. So this monk keeps going and he says, what is the place where there is no cold or heat? Tung Shan then realizes this monk needs a whack. So he says, when it's cold, the cold kills you. When it's hot, the heat kills you. In my research, one of the commentaries on this koan is from the amazing 18th century Zen master Hakuin, who we've studied his works before. He's quite a character and an artist and just an amazing person. If you want to study some of his writings, it's actually fun. He's really kind of humorous and fantastic writer. But he loved this koan, apparently. And he made a comment about Tengshan's line, "When it's cold, the cold kills you. When it's hot, the heat kills you." Hakuin says, "It's a pearl that lights up the night, presented along with a tray and all. Even Unman and Rinzai would be flabbergasted by his saying. One can only sing his praises." When it's cold, the cold kills you. When it's hot, the heat kills you. This is what happens. When there's anxiety, the anxiety kills you. When there's disease, the disease kills you. When there's boredom, the boredom kills you. When there's loneliness, the loneliness kills you. It's all very real. Another take on this comes from Zen master Tenkei, who was a contemporary of Hakuin. And he gives a very, very good instruction on this koan. He says, so this is Tenkei. He says, "The twin roads of life and death are what students suffer over. This question refers to them as cold and heat. When there is no cold or heat, when there is no flavor, when there is no room for a blow of a cane or a shout, this is a direct indication of the beyond. It is not a place where there is or is not cold or heat." But the monk missed it right off the bat, so he asked it again. "When it's cold, it kills you with cold. When it is cold, it is extremely cold. And when it is hot, it is extremely hot. Are you cold or hot? Is there anything there? Is there nothing there? Get a grip and find out." Thank you, Master Tenkei. Get a grip, he says. A grip on life and death. Tenkei says the monk is asking about the beyond, wishing for the beyond, or an alternative to this life. I think Tenkei feels like that's a waste of time. Like the monk, we all worry about life and death, especially in a time of crisis, where our lives have been upended and death lurks nearby. Tenkei, Hakuin, and Tengshan, along with all the Zen masters now and in the past, want us to end these fantasies of the beyond and get a grip. When there is life, life kills you. And when there is death, death kills you. Now, please, get on with what needs to be done. Now, being the exceptional Zen student that I am, and modest too, I happen to see this in another way. Tengshan's No Cold or Heat is case 43 in the Blue Cliff Record, but it reminded me of case 41, Chow Cho's Man Who Has Died the Great Death, which I had been struggling with just a month before. So it was kind of fresh in my mind. I'm not going to describe that case, but it mentions the term, the Zen term, the Great Death. Now, the Great Death of Zen is not the death of the body that we usually think about when we think about death. The Great Death of Zen is the death of the self, the death of our fixations on identity, the death of our opinions and our notions, the death of our ideals and the infernal illusion that we are separate from others and the great earth. Even ideas of Zen and spirituality are gone when the great death occurs. How about that? After dying the great death, one is instantly reborn. The case states that someone who has died the great death must go forth in the daylight. I really love that. I love that whole thing. So I did a little bit of research on the great death, and I found a fantastic poem by another 18th century Zen master. This one, Zen master Benkei. Benkei wrote this amazing poem called Song of Original Mind. And it had two lines in it that talk about what I felt this koan might be saying. So here's two stanzas from Song of the Original Mind by Zen master Benkei. Praying for salvation in the world to come, praying for your own selfish ends, is only piling on more and more self-centeredness and arrogance. Die, then live, day and night within the world. Once you've done this, then you can hold the world right in your hand. It's great. So I was thinking about the great death. When Tengshan says, when it's cold, the cold kills you. When it's hot, the heat kills you. Obstacles and hardships feed our Zen practice. And they make our Zen practice stronger. Difficult circumstances can bring us to the place where we can see the self in operation. And maybe, possibly even, put an end to the endless work of the self. But how, I'm wondering, how can we do this work when we're talking about the challenges of infectious disease and we're struggling with mounting death tolls in our own towns and cities? How then to do this practice? I don't really know. But I do know that our regular meditation practice is the gateway. When we sit facing the wall in Zazen, hot and cold are there. Comfort and discomfort are there. And certainly right now, the fear of the coronavirus is there. But during the meditation period, when we're sitting in Zazen, we don't react. We just sit there. Our bodies are still. And we can actually modulate our thoughts. We can modulate our thoughts if we want to when we sit in the meditation hall. I think simply counting our breath is enough. And when we sit counting our breath, following our breath in times of peril, like now, I think we're living out the wishes of the great old masters I've mentioned in this talk and our teachers now. There was something great from our chat group from our esteemed Sangha member, Philip. He brought out some more words of encouragement from Hakuin. So once again, here's Hakuin. If you can maintain your presence of mind in a city teeming with violent activity, in a cremation ground amid death and destruction, in a theater surrounded by noise and distraction, then and only then are you a true practitioner of Zen. I love Hakuin's attitude. And Hakuin was a Rinzai man. But we kind of follow more or less the Soto Zen tradition. So I would say that our regular meditation practice, our everyday practice, allows us to maintain presence of mind, as he says. And in that way, I feel we're all true practitioners of Zen. Zen practice takes courage, and it takes determination. And it's work that needs to be done. It's work that must be done. We have to accept the reality of heat and cold, life and death, fear and loneliness, joy and beauty. We have to accept those realities. And in the silence of meditation, we embody all the suffering and the beauty. And we can allow the end of suffering. We can allow it when we sit in meditation. For those of us that can stay at home these days, as we've been asked to, we fight the virus in that way. And as we are sequestered in our homes, there's more time for meditation. It's really an opportunity now, an opportunity and a privilege. It's hard to even have excuses and procrastinate when most of us are, if we don't have to be out, we're in our homes. So the world is on fire. And Zen practice is calling. Please deepen your practice when you're at home in these difficult times. To close, I've written a poem. Well, you could call it a poem. Anyway, here it is. How to avoid hot and cold. Give up dreams of a world beyond. Meet hot and cold as they are. Then get a grip on the world that is right in your hand. Well, let me try it again. How to avoid hot and cold. Give up dreams of a world beyond. Meet hot and cold as they are. Then get a grip on the world that is right in your hand. Thank you all for joining me tonight.